And just I'll just say real quick. So there's been a couple times, it's happened to me twice now, where I've been involved in intercessions meetings where we're praying for people to get healed, and the Lord tells me, this person's going to die. Yeah. It's happened to me twice now. Yeah. And that did happen. Yeah. But the whole meaning, or purpose in the meeting behind the meeting was we were there to pray for healing and for God to bring. So I'm like, in that moment, I'm like, Lord, you're taking the wind out of my sails of prayer here. What do you want me to do with this? And I always come back to the story about David and his little baby boy that was born to Bathsheba before Solomon was born. Mm-hmm. And there was a pronouncement over that baby boy that the baby boy was going to die. But what did David do? He prayed and he interceded. He said, maybe God perhaps will turn from his judgment and bring mercy. So in that moment, that's what I did. I just kept praying. Father, release mercy. Release mercy. Just, God, I'm asking you. Okay, so I'm explaining something to you that is a conundrum sometimes in the prophetic that you deal with.
That's right. That's good.
And they ended up dying. The one woman, we were in a meeting, it was in 2007 or something. There was two people we were praying for. They both had cancer, a man and a woman. They both had the sentence of death on them. The Lord said to me, the man's going to live, the woman will die. That's what he said in the middle. And that's exactly what happened. The man is still living to this day. So, it was, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, you know, he got an extra week or something. But no, he's still living today. It was exactly as the Lord told me. The woman died a week later. Wow. Why did God show me that? I still actually wonder about that. But I do know this, that the church was in a place where they were learning about how to go after God for healing, okay?
Right.
And they were learning how to intercede, and they were young in this, and they were just, you know, kind of trying to break through and grow some faith and stuff like that. Well, when the woman died, the next time we got together, oh, what a downer on the entire church service. Everyone was just, you know, like as if God doesn't exist anymore, that kind of, you know. And I was able to minister to the pastor afterward, and I said, look, I just want you to understand something. You're doing the right thing. You are going after what you're supposed to go after, because that's where we should always be. And I was able to give him ministry and counsel and lift up his spirit so they wouldn't stop pursuing after healing.
Right?
Right? So I think God gave that to me so I could then counsel him later after everything happened so that he would continue on pressing in. You know you've heard the stories about Bill Johnson where his father died from the cancer that people get healed from today.
Yeah.
You know? And if he allowed that, though, to define him, then he would have been kept from a huge purpose. And oh, by the way, that blessing's come to our life, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we've received from him. So anyway, there's wisdom in what God shows. So here's some things I want you to think about, just as you're pondering and being in that prophetic realm. You know, and some of you are still waiting for the Lord to kind of define, Lord, am I a prophet? Or I'm just called to prophesy. I'm speaking to all of you guys, okay? These are just things to ponder and think about in the prophetic realm. So what is the role of a prophet or a person who gets a secret from God and is supposed to speak? And has that role really changed from the Old to the New Testament? This is a debate. My kind of thought is, I don't think it's ever changed.
Come on.
Because let me say why. What is a prophet supposed to do? If all I do is give you words, that's not much of a prophet. I'm to help bring you into presence. I'm to help introduce you into presence and heart of the one who loves you. That's my ministry as a prophetic person or someone who's giving a prophecy. You've been called into the place to help introduce somebody into the kingdom. Somebody into the King of Kings, the one who loves and cares and has compassion. That's never changed. It's always been the same. Always. I think that's still our role. Just as, that's my thought. But something to ponder. The interaction of giftedness and character. So these things I'm going to talk to you about are just kind of some nuggets of things and wisdom and stuff that I've gathered over the years and thought about and pondered and asked God to help me have insight and stuff. So I'm just going to share stuff like that with you. So here's another one. You know, character doesn't equal giftedness, and giftedness does not equal character, right? And we've all seen that. But let me ask you something. If I'm in a place where I'm about to die from a horrible disease, do I want somebody with awesome character or awesome giftedness to minister to me? Man, give me some giftedness because I got to get healed. So, you know, I think there's been teaching released out there, like, you know, kind of to despise people who are just extremely gifted but immature. Well, don't do that. Just have mercy. Help them to grow up. Help them to become mature, right? That's what a prophetic person does. He sees past all that silly, surfacey stuff, and he calls out to that person to come in the higher place, right? In the prophetic, we see in part and we prophesy in part. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how long you've prophesied. I don't care if your name is Bob Jones. You only see in part and you only prophesy in part. I only got the parts. There's other parts, by the way, that haven't been explained.
Yes.
Right? And we need to realize that. I'm not against you giving the part that you get. I think you should. It's important. That's the part God gave you. You give that part. You be faithful to that.
Yeah.
But don't be so, you know, uppity in your mind that you think you got it all down. You don't. You only see a little bit. And then another thing to think about is relationship versus revelation. Which one's going to last forever, by the way? Actually, the way I look at the prophetic, and this has kind of changed over the years for me, is I look at it as a wonderful adventure now with God. Because I've been invited to a place where I get to learn more about who my God is. Yeah. Like, God, why would you say that? Oh, that's so beautiful. I get to see a part of your character I never saw before, you know? And, you know, into the prophetic, right? We're talking and we're speaking into things that are not as though they were.
Yeah.
I'm speaking into impossibilities and saying, hey, no, there's a solution for that. There's an app for that, you know? There's something, not an app, but, you know, there's something, there's a revelation for that, right? And so actually, I get to go beyond revelation. I get to go into relationship. So what do we do to birth prophetic wisdom? Well, we've got to be interacting with the Word. Obviously, we've got to hear His Word. We've got to meditate on His Word. And as we do that, things begin to marinate. Things begin to come together in our thoughts and our mind. And we begin to see beyond just the surface. It's important to hang around people that are wise. Like, hey, if you want to be wise, hang around people that are wise. You know, hey, why not? Get those drops and nuggets from your friendships that way. Sometimes wisdom only comes through experience. And this is the way it is, right? I didn't realize how much you can get shocked by putting your finger in a socket. Until I did it. And now I know. And now I have wisdom. Don't do that. God has to give it. He's the one who's the author of it. He's got to give it. And this goes back to the story in the book of Job where it talks about the ostrich being kind of dumb and laying its eggs on the top of the ground and not hiding it. And it says, and it says right there in the text, it says, and it's because God has withheld wisdom from the ostrich.
Right.
So God is the one who has to give the wisdom, right.
Right?
The good thing is, down in the last point there, is that if you lack wisdom, then you can ask God for it. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, then let him come to God, and God will give it to him freely, right? Isn't that exciting? So just recognize your need, that you need it, and ask him, and he'll begin to give it to you. I think another awesome thing about wisdom is, I think wisdom is imparted when I begin to see people as God sees them. And I purposely ask God to show me. Like when I'm looking and ministering to people, like, God, what do you see in that person? What are you seeing? Do you remember the story where Jesus was at the Pharisee's house? And I think it was Simon. He was at Simon the Pharisee's house. And this woman came in and fell at Jesus' feet and started kissing his feet. And she was crying and all these tears were getting on the feet. And then Simon said to his friends that were next to him, he said, you know, if this man were a prophet, then he would recognize and realize who it is that's touching him. And then Jesus, after Simon expressed that, he's such a set-up guy. After he said that, he looked at Simon. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Be careful when Jesus says that. I got something to say to you. Simon, I have something to say to you. Do you see this woman? Now, I want you to stop right there. One time I was reading through that story, and the Lord just arrested my attention. He said, stop. Stop right there. Simon, do you see this woman? The answer to that is, yeah, but not really. All he saw was the surface. He didn't see the depth. And that's what Jesus was saying to him. Simon, you don't see where this woman is from. You don't know anything about her battles. You don't recognize the fact that her father probably sold her into prostitution. You don't recognize the fact that she was abused by her husband. You don't recognize the fact that she's been crying and weeping and broken for years, and maybe she's on the precipice of stepping into suicide. You don't see that. I do. Do you see this woman? No, you don't. So I feel like God just said to me, like, hey, when you minister to people, why don't you ask me what I think about them?
Oh boy. Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you ask me that? Because when you do that, I think you just get invited into another realm of revelation. You see something that goes beyond the surface, right? So I think that's a really cool one. And obviously having respect for wisdom. So what's the intended impact of wisdom? Wisdom is to impact individuals. It's to help impact companies, governments, leaders. The seven mountains of society, God wants to use wisdom to help impact it, right? By me, kings reign. Well, what are you supposed to do? Going back to what... See, we're doing a little lesson of, you know, remembering what God's been talking about. Because he's got a message for us, right?
Yeah.
It's not just Abner's message. It's not just me saying something. It's not just, you know... I'm sorry, Shane. Sean and Melissa. Okay, now I got it. He's weaving something here. You know, Abner was telling us about how, you know, God intended from the very beginning that Adam and Eve, they were supposed to have impact on every aspect of creation. You're supposed to have dominion. Get some wisdom because you need it to have the intended impact that God wants you to have. Right? All these things can shift if you can operate not just in revelation, but also in wisdom. Amen? And now I'm just going to share with you a couple different nuggets about wisdom that I think are just really important. And I'm going to go kind of quickly through this part. You know, you minister according to how you see yourself.
That's right.
That's good.
You really
exactly
do.
Right.
So, man, you need to understand your identity. And, you know, and again, Abner was talking about this yesterday. You know, we need to understand our identity. We need to understand who we are in Christ. Quit flogging yourself.
Yeah,
stop that. God ain't doing that.
That's right.
But we need to understand our identity, because we minister from who we are, where we stand. And you are called to be a warrior of light.
That's right.
A carrier of the power of the King of Heaven.
Yeah.
An ambassador of the one who made all things, and all things consist by Him.
Amen.
That's who you are. You really are that. Whether or not you see that or agree with that.
Amen.
If you don't agree with that, then have another thought.
Yeah.
Right? Go to the next place. Because that is the truth.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to really have the impact, you got to understand who you are. And you've got to have confidence in God. Yeah. You know, if you don't understand who you are, you're not going to have confidence. If you're going to a person who's selling something, like, say, a little Mitsubishi car, and, well, you know, that car's, it's okay. I mean, it mostly works all the time. There's no confidence in that. Right? You're not going to buy from that guy. Well, if you're selling that way to people, you know, outside the church, who's going to buy from you? Well, you know, God mostly hears my prayers. Sometimes he comes through. I think my provision might come, but I don't know. Come on, see what I'm saying? What do we do as prophets and prophetic people? We create culture for possibilities.
Yes.
Don't we? Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Because what? God can do anything. We speak into those things which are not as though they are.
Yes.
I get a chance and the freedom to explore and to worship and to dream with God in the prophetic. That's what we get to do. Isn't that exciting? It is exciting. That's what we really want to do. Oh, come on. I get to speak life into death.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get to partner with God to create the possibilities that you see around you.
Yes,
yes I do. In the prophetic, yes I do. You see, when you operate in the prophetic, you're going back to the same point in what happened at the very beginning. We get to be a part
right.
of the let there be.
Yeah.
Let there be light.
Yeah.
Let there be more anointing.
Let there be.
Let there be life. Let there be more people. Let there be joy in the land. I get to speak into that.
That's right.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
We create that. God needs crazy people like us.
Yeah.
That will believe beyond what we see with our eyeballs.
Yeah.
Right? So the key questions to think about in this is, how big's your God?
Amen.
How big is He? Do you have a teeny tiny little God that He can answer if I can get a parking place, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to just be able to have that grocery item on sale or not? I mean, oh, come on, man. How big is your God?
That's good.
I love Elijah. Even though, you know, he might have goofed up. But you know what? He dealt with some really big things. Think about this. For Elijah, God's God was big. Elijah's name means the Lord God is He.
Yes.
And it begs a question. The Lord God is He what? What is God? Well, for Elijah, God was the one who could speak to kings. God is the one who can withhold rain for 3 years. God is the one that can turn an entire nation from the practice of Baal worship back to the Lord. The entire nation. That's what Elijah did. That's pretty freaking awesome. Don't you start judging Elijah. Yeah, he might have messed up, but you know what? He turned an entire nation back to God. You know what I mean? So I love his example, because God was big to him. And that's what he needs to be to us. We've got to have a big God. So just do what Abner was saying the other day. You know what? The best thing to do is just start staring at him.
Yeah.
Because when you do, you forget about yourself. You forget about all your limitations and your impossibilities. And you begin to see the God of the impossible who can do anything, right? And you know that? I want a prophetic person who has that kind of mindset prophesying to me. I don't want the one who can't find a parking place. Seriously. Oh, well. Anyway, we've got to have confidence in His goodness. Our confidence in His goodness, it has to remain high for us to be consistent and continuous in the prophetic ministry. We've got to be confident that our God is going to, even though, you know, my kids are calling me up and everything's falling apart and somebody wants to die and this is going to, you know, and the thing is blowing up and blah, 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 blah. No, my God is still bigger than all that. I know that He can give an answer of peace. I know that He can do things, even though I don't see it. But I can operate in confidence knowing that God is going to show up, even though I don't see it yet. Right? That's what we need. We've got to be confident in that. And we've got to have an authentic, current, real life, organic relationship with God. That goes beyond the platform.
Amen.
Right? Come on. We need that. And did you know you carry the power of reconciliation between God and man in the prophetic?
Yeah, right.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you do.
Come on.
Oh, yes, you do. I like that. Is that better? I got to get the attitude. There's ebbs and flows in the prophetic. I don't want it to, like, you know, pretend that this isn't true. This is true. There's ebbs and flows. There's times when, you know, man, you're rolling in it and whoa, oh my gosh, you know. And there's other times where I'm just going to go fishing. And it's okay, you know. I don't understand it all. I just know, like, you know, I'm not always like up here. Sometimes I'm down here. I don't know. I don't try to do that. But it happens. And I'm okay with that. I don't have to be the show. I don't have to be this. You know what I mean? I just want God. I just want my relationship with God. So it's okay just to recognize this. Like, there's ebbs and flows in this. Just enjoy the journey and just develop your intimacy. Like, hey, if God's not giving you a whole lot of revelation right now, then just go sing. Just go chat with Him. Just enjoy Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Just do that. And it's going to be wonderful. And, you know, other little nuggets. I'm going to whiz through these real quick. So, this whole thing, it's not about being perfect. It's about relationship. Workers breed frustration. What do lovers breed? They breed inspiration. Don't be a worker. You need to be a lover. God's called you to be a lover. God wants to engage your entire being, everything about you, in the prophetic ministry. Right? He wants to engage your character, your uniqueness of personality, your mental faculties, the emotional chemistry of expressing His heart. He wants to engage all of that with you. Don't think that He can't use the fact that you like, you know, I don't know, you like Legos or I don't know, you played with funny Asian dolls when you were a young person. I don't know, somehow He might use that as a word. I mean, you just never know. You have a unique personality. I have a daughter, just real quick. She has a fascination with Asian culture. And, you know, at first, I'm just going to be honest. I tried to squelch that because I thought, oh, man, something's wrong here. I was wrong. I think God was actually leading her. And actually, she does have a way to minister to people of other cultures and Asian cultures that I don't understand. But God used her fascination with that to help create a part of her personality so that she could be an effective minister to people like that. So it's like, you know, every word that God gives, there's an intentionality behind it. That's why I want you to really, if you don't catch anything, just catch that. There's a reason behind why the Lord gave it, and you need to explore that. We need to cultivate presence to protect our vision and help maintain our perspective. We need to act on what we get. Don't remove doubt and delay. Act on what you get, you know. And I know this might go a little bit contrary to what I said earlier about timing, but there are some times when, like, all you get is just one piece, you know. And you don't know all the reasons. You don't have a stoplight say, hey, don't give it. But you just act on what you get. You just never know what's going to happen. I've heard of some more profound things, of crazy things that people get, and they just act on it, and it's like, oh, how in the world did you know that, you know? Real quick. So one time I'm ministering to people in Morningstar. This lady comes up. I asked her a question. Have you ever been ministered to prophetic? Nope, never. I said, oh, good. This will be awesome. Then God's going to show up. I asked the Lord for a word. All I get was a bowl of macaroni noodles. I don't get nothing but macaroni noodles. That's all I got. Oh, come on, God. You got to give me something more. She's never heard a word before. Macaroni noodles. Lord, she's going to think we're crazy, and she's going to condemn the whole place, and she'll never prophesy ever again. You know what I mean? Like, all these thoughts are going through my head. But that's all I got. I kept asking God, please give me, macaroni noodles. That's all I got. So I said that. I said, well, I tried to make it look good, too. I said so. <The Lord. laughs> I said, well, I see a bowl of macaroni. That's what I said. I see a bowl of macaroni. I'll just be in my rawness. I see a bowl of macaroni, and you like macaroni. You cook macaroni. I'm just giving what I got. That's all I got. It's the truth. There's something about you and macaroni. That's what it said. You like macaroni. You eat macaroni. You cook macaroni. There's something about you and macaroni. And that's all I got. And I didn't dress it up and make it any prettier than that. Oh, and I see how the Lord is causing water to come down from on heaven to make the macaroni come alive. But that's all he gave me. So I just went with what he gave me. And, you know, we finished up the ministry with her. Sorry. We finished up the ministry with her. And then she leaves. So it's like, no feedback. What happened? She's going to go straight to Rick and I'm out the door. So later, I had a guy who was with me, you know, he was probably thinking, man, you're crazy. I don't know why you did that. Anyway, so she ran into him later on in the conference and she said, oh, tell that guy that talked to me about the macaroni that I have a blog site. It's called pastalady.com. And what I do is I put out pasta recipes, and that's what I do for a living. I cook macaroni. So come on. I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes God gives you stuff and you just don't know what to do with it. But just go with what you get. Amen. You just never know what will happen. Yeah. It could be awesome. Right. And you could get humbled, too. I just, you know, yeah. It could happen that way, too. I just want to, you know, anyway. So every time you get a word, though, I want you to know there's an invitation to process. God's inviting you to a place of change in order to become that which you've received. So just because you get a word doesn't, game over, it's all done. No. Yes. No. There's some things to happen. Yeah. Right? Amen? There's great wisdom lessons from the prophets. I just want to show you some resources. So there's a book by Graham Cook, Prophetic Wisdom by Graham Cook. It's a great book. You'll get some nuggets that I'm talking about here from reading that. You'll get some other perspectives that he has. He's awesome. Obviously, Holy Spirit has a lot of resources for you and wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And the Prophetic Ministry book by Rick Joyner, he actually has a lot of interesting like wisdom type things that he releases in that book. I think it's a really great book. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you. Well, I just want to pray for you and just for God to give impartation. Okay, so I feel like I want to do an impartation time. So can we just stand up and just kind of just like extend your arms to the Lord, and we're just gonna ask Him for imparting of wisdom, because God said if you lack wisdom, He's free. He'll freely give it to you, right? So just right now, just lift up your voice to the Lord, asking Him for wisdom, and I'll pray while you guys are asking. So, Lord, we just ask You right now for an impartation of wisdom, God. We ask You for insight in Your revelations that You give, God, so that You would marry up the prophetic revelations and the wisdom of God in our life, in our ministry, Lord, so we can be impactful, so we can be able to minister according to Your heart, so that we can help those come out of death into life, God, so that You might have all the intended blessing released upon the people that You put before us. Lord, we ask You for releasing this in the mighty name of Jesus. More, we ask You for more, God. More, we ask You for more. In the name of Jesus, we ask You to release it, God. Release it to us. Help us, Lord. Help us to grow up. Help us to mature, God. Help us to press into more of You. Help us to increase in all that You call us to be. Lord, help us to be the expression of Your heart in the earth. Lord, we don't want to just express words and express knowledge. We want to be expression of the heart of our King, an ambassador for the King of heaven. Lord, we ask You for that now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, release it. Release it in Jesus' name.